morning. The reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 8, verses 11 to 17. Isaiah 8:11-17. The Lord has said to me in the strongest terms, "Do not think like everyone else does. Do not be afraid that some plan conceived behind closed doors will be the end of you. Do not fear anything except the Lord Almighty. He alone is the Holy One. If you fear him, you need fear nothing else. He will keep you safe. But to Israel and Judah, he will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap that entangles them. Many of them will stumble and fall, never to rise again. Many will be captured. I will write down all these things as a testimony of what the Lord will do. I will entrust it to my disciples, who will pass it down to future generations. I will wait for the Lord to help us, though he has turned away from the people of Israel. My only hope is in him." Amen.
Well, good morning. As Mark said, this is our fourth and final message in our Have I Got News For You series. As we've looked at these messages brought from the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah, we've looked at pick and mix was our first one. There's only one God, so be careful to follow him. We looked at it's the economy, stupid, how we need to be careful in handling our finances. And last week we looked at one for all and all for one, and how we can, as God's people, look out for the poor and the poor in spirit. And the reason we do that is because God cares. But also within that, we've had our visit from Peter Reed. And in the morning, Peter spoke very clearly about who are we listening to. And actually, we pick up some of that again today. I've had the same hairdresser for over 20 years. And 3 weeks ago, I got to the point where I couldn't really see through my fringe any longer. And so I think it's time to ring her and book my appointment. I forgot that week. And when it got even worse a week after, I rang again. I actually rang. And she always rings me back, and she didn't. So I rang again at the end of last week. And I spoke to her, and she said, "I'm out of action." And she's had an accident, and she's likely to be out of action for months. So panic ensued. I trust my hairdresser. I say very little about my hair. We talk about anything and everything. And because many of you also go to the same hairdresser, we talk about each other and how we're all doing. But I was suddenly faced with, where am I going to go now? So one of the options was to open the phone directory on hairdressers and sort of do a bit of a swirl and then pick one. But actually, the best thing I thought to do was ask advice. I asked my friends, those that don't go to Alison. I asked the others and said, "Where do you go?" The one thing I forgot to ask was, how much does it cost? But that's another story. But I sought their advice. Where do you go? I didn't just pick somebody randomly. As I say, when you've had the same hairdresser for over 20 years, you trust somebody. So hopefully you've noticed I've now been, I can see, and hopefully it looks okay. But I sought their advice. And this morning, we're going to be thinking about hooking up. Who are we listening to? Who are we plugging into? Where do we go to get our advice? Do we turn to our friends? We all need friendships, but do our friendships help or hinder us when we're making choices? We can have the best friendships in the world, but if God isn't at the centre of that friendship, then we could be heading in the wrong direction, a direction that takes us away from God. In the passage that we had read to us, we have a window into what was going on in the life and times in Isaiah. Judah and Israel were two different states, and Isaiah was a prophet to Judah. The prophet of Judah was troubled by two groups. The people of Judah were troubled by two other groups. The Assyrians, they were a large and powerful nation on one side, and on the other side, there was an alliance between Syria and Israel. The people of Judah thought that the answer to their problems was to form an alliance with the people of Assyria. And it was into that situation that Isaiah brought the words that we had read for us. Isaiah was very strong in what he had to say, and he starts his message with, "The Lord has given me a strong warning to you. You are not to think like everyone else does." In this, Isaiah is saying to Judah that they are to trust God rather than getting an alliance with others. Now, we might not be negotiating alliances with nations, but each day, all of us in some way seeks an opinion from those around us. We've all got friends that we turn to in times of need, ones that we can seek advice from, or ones we can bear our heart to. But we also have those whom we know we wouldn't ask advice from. We often think in our house that the entrants of X Factor and Britain's Got Talent obviously have no friends. Or if they do, they're not friends who can tell them like it is. Because if they did, they would know they can't sing and they can't dance. We sometimes ask opinion, but actually, we don't really want the answer. Does my bum look big in this? We know we ask those questions, but we don't really want the answer. Sometimes we've already decided, even though we ask for an opinion, we've already decided what the answer might be and that we want. When a husband says, "Darling, do you think it's about time we had a new car?" We all know that it doesn't really matter what she says. He's already decided that he needs or wants a new car, and he's probably already chosen the make, the model, the colour, and the extras that he wants on it. But some people think so highly of friends' opinions that they won't make any decision without them. You just have to think of our teenagers. What are you wearing? Or, "Oh, I'll wear mine." "Are you going to that?" "No, well, I won't then." They don't do anything without the say-so and the discussion with others. Many of us who use text and email will know the acronym LOL. For some of you, it's laugh out loud. For some of you, it's lots of love. And I think that's an age thing. Because I have several that I get LOL on and I know they're laughing out loud. And some it's LOL and I know it's lots of love. It's when you try to look at it and you see it with the opposite way around, you think, this doesn't quite work. But have you heard of FOMO? F-O-M-O. Anybody heard of that one? It's beginning to creep into some text speak, and it's fear of missing out. We don't want to miss out. We never want to be the odd one out. It's easier to go with the flow, to be in the in crowd. Peer pressure is so strong, and we want to be part of that group. Many of our young people are really pleased when they get to college or university because it means no uniform. Just go into town, have a wander near the college, and you will see they have a uniform. It's an unwritten one, but they all dress very similarly. It's their non-uniform uniform, but they don't want to look different. They want to be part of what's there, their fear of fitting in. We're afraid to look different and don't want to stand out in any crowd. But what was driving Judah towards Assyria was fear. How many of us, when we're worried, do we look for advice in all sorts of different places? Some turn to fortune tellers and horoscopes for advice and guidance. But Scripture clearly tells us, someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Shouldn't the living seek guidance from the dead? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? Look to God's instruction and teaching. People who contradict his word are completely in the dark. When I worked at the hospital, a lot of my colleagues went to mediums to have their palms read and the cards read. But do you know what? When they came back and they would tell you what had been said, it only seemed to instill confusion and fear in them rather than clarity and direction. Some people seek advice from newspapers and help columns. Many seek advice from Google on their computers. We want to know all sorts of things, and we've got that information at our fingertips. But where do you go when you've got a big decision to make, if you're facing a tough time? Do you phone a friend you trust and say, let's meet for a coffee? There's something I want to chat over. Perhaps it's to your parents you turn, or to your husband or wife. Perhaps it's your home group leader or your pastor. Or perhaps you're one of those people who talk to themselves and talk it through and work it through that way. For me, it's some and all of the above. When I was growing up, the person I turned to was my youth leader. She was my spiritual mum. Helen wasn't a trendy young youth leader. She was actually exactly the same age as my own mum. If you want to picture her, she was shorter than me, so she was very small. She had grey hair, as long as I knew her, and she had a thick Bolton accent, although she'd lived in the Lakes for many years. Over the years, I knocked on their door at Fourways Cottage many, many times. We discussed family, career, church, and of course, as I was a teenager, boys. But Helen was a woman of integrity and of wisdom. But she wasn't afraid to challenge me, to challenge my decisions, my thinking, particularly if she thought I was wrong. And I owe a lot to Helen. I was, different times of my life, heading my way, and Helen challenged that, and I changed my way. And in many ways, the reason I'm here now is because of decisions that Helen helped me make. Helen would often ask, is that what God would want for you? She was honest enough to challenge me about such things. I valued and trusted Helen's opinion, her human opinion, as she had my best interests at heart as one of her girls in her youth group. But she knew that it was God's direction that was ultimately the best for me. I had to put God first. Near the beginning of our reading this morning, we had the words, make the Lord of heaven's armies holy in your life. The word holy is one of these words that we read many times in the Bible, a word that's often used, but perhaps we don't always think about what it means. And to make the Lord holy is to put him first, first in our lives, first in everything, to give him first place and acknowledge that nothing is greater than he. But who are we making first in our lives? In the NLT translation of the Bible, it uses the phrase, the Lord of heaven's armies, which is one of the names that was given to God. And throughout the Bible, God is given the names that reveal his character, reveal who he is. So let's just think about the Lord of heaven's armies for a minute. What kind of picture does that paint in your mind? It might be a mighty warrior with a vast army behind him. It might be something a bit more like a Renaissance painting. The one thing it certainly isn't is a picture of a bearded man on a cloud like we sometimes have. But there's another place where we hear this title used, and that's in 1 Samuel 17, where we read the story of David and Goliath. Let's picture the scene. David, a humble shepherd boy. He wasn't even old enough to fight. He was just a boy. But then, there was Goliath. It says in 1 Samuel 17, "Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall." For those of you who saw Pastor Ian in the guild procession, that's kind of the height we're looking at. He was huge. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore bronze leg armour, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with iron, the spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armour-bearer walked ahead of him, carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. "Why are you coming out to fight?" he called. "I am the Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here to me. If he kills me, then I will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight with me." When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. This was King Saul, who was terrified and deeply shaken. And why was Saul chosen to be king? That was because he was head and shoulders taller than anyone else, and he was terrified. This whole battle and conversation between the two goes on for a while before David comes on the scene, and eventually David finds himself stood opposite Goliath. On the face of it, we see David, a young boy. Goliath, the 9-foot-tall warrior, and his sidekick holding the shield. What was David's response in that situation? It says, "Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this boy. 'Am I a dog?' he roared at David, 'that you come at me with a stick?' And he cursed David by the names of his gods. 'Come over here and I'll give you flesh, your flesh to the birds and the wild animals,' Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistines, 'You come to me with sword, spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled.'" So what did David come with? He came with the Lord of heaven's armies. He may have looked alone, but he knew that God's power and presence was with him. Years later, Paul would reflect on these events in Acts. And he says, "But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" Saul lost everything, but David, who looked to God, gained a kingdom and a reputation. By seeking God's heart, David put God first. You may not be facing a 9-foot giant. You may not be facing the threat of an army invasion. But where do you turn to when you're faced with life's worries? Here are some words of Jesus from Matthew. "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed as beautiful as they. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all you need. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow brings its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. The reality is that life can be tough, and every day we all make decisions. We might not be conscious of it all the time, but every day we're deciding on something. Sometimes it's the big decisions in life that we're faced with. Choosing a life partner, changing location, facing medical treatment, finding a new job. Maybe you've lost the one you had. And we take advice from professionals, sometimes from doctors, financial advisors, estate agents, and any number of professionals. But as Christians, Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give us everything we need. Or to put it another way, as we've already looked at from Isaiah, make the Lord of heaven's army holy in your life. To put it simpler, put God first. Do your friendships help or hinder you? Do they lead you away from God? Perhaps we need to look at our friendships honestly and make some bold and perhaps difficult decisions. We may have friendships that we maintain because we know they will always agree with us, because they wouldn't want to rock the boat. Conversely, we may have friendships that would be more valuable because they are willing to rock the boat and challenge us a bit. Friends who always agree with us rarely make the best friends. I'm sure that most of us would agree that putting God first sounds like a good thing to do. We may even regard it as a basic Christian principle. But someone once said, the longest distance is from the head to the heart. We can so often have head knowledge and understanding, but we fail to make a heart response. Remember that David was commended for being a man after God's own heart. So perhaps we need to walk this knowledge from our heads to our hearts by adopting some basic Christian disciplines. In the vision prayer that we prayed at the beginning of the year with the cards with the flames on, we all stood and prayed, I will gladly seek God's purpose for my life through prayer, studying the Bible, and friendship with Christians. The disciplines of regular Bible reading, prayer, serving, and meeting together with other Christians are so vital for each of us if we're going to grow and we're going to be all that God wants us to be. So when did you last ask for advice? When did you last ask God for advice? And more importantly, when did you act and follow what God said? Is praying and seeking God's advice always our last port of call? I know so often there are things in my life that I plan and I discuss and I get to the end and then I go, God, what's your thought on this? And so often God is our last thought. He's our last port of call. But he should be our first in all of life's decisions. As a church, 2013 is a year that we've set aside to seek God and pray for clear direction. We can have our own ideas and agendas, but unless God moves, there is little point in us moving on to anything. As a church, and that includes each one of us here this morning, We are the church. We are here as God's church. We need to be seeking God corporately, as we've been doing in our week of prayer, as we did on Wednesday night here in our annual meeting, and as we will be doing again on the 22nd of March. We'll be seeking God corporately. But we also need to seek God personally. What is God saying to you? Have you ever asked him? We run courses listening to God and how to hear God's voice. If that's something that you could make use of, please do speak to the discipleship team. So who are you listening to? Will you commit to listening to God and seeking God? Will you put God first? In Psalm 139, it talks about how God knows us, everything there is to know about us. Surely, if God knows all there is to know about us, he knows best. He has our best interest at heart. So seek the one who knows what's right for you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for each one of us that, Lord, whatever we're facing today, tomorrow, the days and weeks ahead, Lord, whether it seems a trivial decision or a life-changing decision, Lord, I pray that we would put you first. That, Lord, we would seek you and all that you have for us. Lord, we thank you that you have got plans and purposes for our lives. But, Lord, it says, I have plans for you when you seek me with all your heart. And so, Lord, we come and say that we want to seek you for what you have for each one of us. Lord, I pray that this week we would turn to you for advice. Lord, where we've sought others and made our own way, Lord, I pray that we'd come back and repent and seek your forgiveness and then be ready to move forward into all that you have for us. Lord, I thank you that your plans are to prosper us and not to harm us. So, Lord, we look to you. Help each one of us to put you first today and in the week ahead, that we might bring glory and honour to your name. Amen.